Would you take your Bibles and open them up to Joshua chapter 2? Joshua chapter 2, I'd like to read this account before we get into the Word of God today. But we are in our study of the book of Joshua, and we are in chapter 2, and I'd like to begin reading in verse 1, Joshua 2. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, sent two men as spies secretly from Shittim, saying, "Go, view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and came into the house of a harlot, whose name was Rahab, and lodged there. It was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, men from the sons of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land." And the king of Jericho sent word to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land." But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And she said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from." And it came about when it was time to shut the gate at dark that the men went out, and I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them in the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued them on the road to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who were pursuing them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof. And she said to them, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water at the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who are beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. When we heard it, our hearts melted, and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. For the Lord your God, he is the God of heaven above and of earth beneath. Now therefore, please swear to me by the Lord, since I have dealt kindly with you, that you also will deal kindly with my father's household and give me a pledge of truth, and spare my father and my mother and my brothers and my sisters with all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death." So the men said to her, "Our life for yours, if you do not tell this business of ours. And it shall come about when the Lord gives us the land that we will deal kindly and faithfully with you." Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall, so that she was living on the wall. She said to them, "Go to the hill country, so that the pursuers will not happen upon you, and hide yourself there for 3 days until the pursuers return. Then afterwards, you may go your way." The men said to her, "We shall be free from this oath to you, which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you tie this cord of scarlet thread in the window through which you let us down, and gather to yourself into the house your father and your mother and your brothers and all your father's household. It shall come about that anyone who goes out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we shall be free. But anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. But if you tell this business of ours, then we shall be free from the oath which you have made us swear." She said, "According to your words, so be it. So she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. Let's pray. Lord, what an account. A true historical account here in Joshua chapter 2. And Lord, today I pray, Holy Spirit, break through. We need to know the truth, in this portion of your word. Break through in our lives. Speak to us, Lord. Give us ears today that will hear you. Remember, you said, let them that have ears hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Lord, let us have ears that will hear. Eyes that will see you in this account. And Lord, hearts that will believe, and we will take this and apply it in our lives. Lord, break through. Open our eyes that we might behold wonderful things out of your book, the Bible. I pray in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen. 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 A woman, stories told of a woman who was known for her deep trust and calmness of soul. And she was asked by a person who wanted to learn her secret this question: are you the woman, a woman with great faith? Are you a woman of great faith? And here was her answer: no, I'm not. I'm a woman of little faith in a great God. Oh, don't you love that? I just have a little faith, but it's in a great God. The Bible tells us the Christian life is a life of faith. A life of faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. In fact, not only are we told in Scripture we are to walk by faith, but we are to work by faith. We are to witness by faith. We're to worship by faith. And we are to war by faith. The Christian life is a life of faith. In fact, you know it. Hebrews 11:6. What is it? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Please God. Because he who comes to God must first believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you don't have faith, you can't please God. The Christian life is a life of faith. It's a life of faith. In fact, in Joshua, the theme of Joshua, according to Alan Redpath, great preacher of the word, is victory through faith. Victory through faith. And in Joshua 2, we have an account of these two spies being sent out to spy out the land of Jericho and how they met up with this woman, Rahab the harlot. Rahab. And in this account, and especially from the life of Rahab, we can learn some great truths about faith. In fact, I want to share with you this morning 5 lessons of faith in Joshua chapter 2. 5 lessons of faith. And the first one is this: biblical faith is not presumption. Biblical faith is not presumption. In verse 1, we see Joshua sending these spies out into the land. Now the question comes up, was Joshua right to send out these spies? Was he right to do that? Some think that he wasn't. One commentator writes, Joshua has been severely criticized by some who regarded him as here acting according to a carnal policy that was dictated by unbelief. God told him he was going to give him the land. Why send out these spies? Was Joshua right to send out these spies? Well, I think he was. I think he was. Remember what God told Joshua back in chapter 1 in verse 8. I know you do because you all went home and memorized this last week. Right? The words of this law shall not, what? Depart out of thy mouth. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou may observe to do, or be careful to observe all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. You know, Joshua was supposed to get into the book. And you know what? He has precedent in the book for sending out spies. You remember what Moses did? 39 years before that, Moses sent out spies into the land. And he sent out these spies. And somebody said, well, yeah, Pastor. He sent out the spies, but look what happened. Look at the disaster that followed. Right? Now, the results of it was disastrous. These spies came back, and 10 out of the 12 spies brought a bad report. By the way, how many names can you name of the 12 spies? How many names? Only two, right? Joshua and Caleb. I don't know any of the other spies. Because they brought back a bad report. Oh, there's giants in the land. High walls. We can't do it. And then they took a vote on it. It was disastrous. So was Moses right to do that? He was. You know how I know? Because Numbers 13 verses 1 and 2 say this. Then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, send out for yourselves men so that they may spy out the land of Canaan. Moses did it because God told him to do it. And so Joshua had precedent here. And, you know, and God never, listen, God never chastised Moses for sending out the spies. Or said, you know, you were wrong to send out those spies, Moses. Never did that. It wasn't wrong to send out the spies. What was wrong is when they came back and brought a bad report. That was what was wrong. But Moses wasn't wrong. And I don't think Joshua was wrong here to send out the spies. He wasn't wrong to send out the spies. But why, let's ask, why did he send them out? Why did he send them out? It was not to determine whether or not to go into the land, right? Because he's already told the commanders, get your people ready, for in 3 days we're going in. That's not why he sent them into the land. Why did he send them into the land? Do you know why? Because biblical faith is not presumption. They needed to know their enemy. They needed to know their enemy. Commentator Arthur Pink states, faith in God does not preclude the discharge of my performance of duty, both in taking precautions against danger or using proper means for success. Then he says, Cromwell said, trust in God and keep your powder dry. He goes on to say, faith does not release us from our natural obligations. You see, the people of God needed to know their enemy. They sent out spies for the same reason a football team goes and scouts out the opponent that they're going to face. Because you need to know the strategies. You need to know how the enemy is going to respond and where the weaknesses are and where the strengths are. And so he sends them out. And if you don't do that, you're liable to get whooped, right? It's the same with us. Are we promised victory in Jesus? Yes! Come on, I mean, you can jump up and say, hallelujah, we have victory in Christ. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Thanks be to God who always leads us in his triumph in Christ. Right? We're promised victory. Does that mean we just sit back and, oh, we got the victory, man? No, it doesn't. There's things God expects us to do. You remember he said in Ephesians chapter 6, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. What? Put on the full armor of God. You say, well, I got the victory. I don't have to do it. Oh, yeah? You better get the armor on. Right? There's things that God tells us to do. Faith is not just presumption. I'm just going to make it in preaching. You know, does God promise his word will not return void? Wonderful, I don't have to study anymore. I don't have to spend hours preparing sermons. I just go in and just share the word. And what's my Bible tell me? Study. Be diligent to show yourself approved unto God, workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. See, there's things that we're supposed to do. Put on the forearm of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. You know what that word is? Methodies. The methodologies. The strategies of the enemy. You know Satan has strategies to mess you up? Do you know what they are? You know what? Maybe we need to scout out the enemy. You know? Now, I'm not telling you just focus on Satan. Don't do that. Focus on the Lord. But you need to know your enemy. Where does he attack you? What strategy does he use in your life to mess you up? Or strategies? I've been seeing some things that he's been doing or trying to do in my life lately. I've shared them with some of the guys here in the church. And I'll tell you what, we need to scout out the enemy. Paul said what? We're not ignorant of his schemes. We're not ignorant of schemes. But you know what? A lot of us are. A lot of us are. And that's why, no, we can't lose the war. I read the last chapter of Revelation. We win. Amen? But I'll tell you what, we can lose some skirmishes if we don't know the enemy. You know, because faith is not presumption. That's number one. Number two, lesson in faith. Biblical faith comes by hearing the word of God. Hearing the word of God. You see, in verses 2-7, we read that the spies went to Rahab's house. By the way, how did they find her? How did they get to Rahab's house? I'm going to tell you how they got there. God led them there. He did. There were other places that they could have, probably other prostitutes in the town where they could have lodged. But God led them to this one. And they come to her, and the king hears about it, sends word to Rahab, bring the men out. Rahab hides the spies under some flax on the rooftop. She says, well, about the time when the gates were being closed at night, the two men slipped out. Go quickly, pursue them and overtake them. Now, I'm just going to mention this, because I know some of you might be thinking this. Was she right to lie? Was she right to lie? Let me tell you something. It is never right to lie. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. It's never right to lie. It isn't. You can't use this portion of Scripture to justify lying. Or the ends justifies the means. Or situation ethics. Well, I'm in a situation, you know. But let me just say something. Let's be a little easy on Rahab here. She's put in a difficult situation. What if somebody came in here with a gun, came up to me and said, where is, and they said your name, where is, and I knew you were in the restroom. And I said, well, they didn't come to church today. Well, maybe with some of you I'd say that. I mean, I don't know. She was put in a difficult situation. I mean, just put yourself there. That'd be pretty tough. She's a new believer. So I don't want to be too tough, but she is never commended for her lies. She's never commended for her ethics. She is commended for her faith. Her faith. Her faith. And that's all I'm going to say about it, because the point of this is not, whether she was right. The point is not about her lying. The point is about her faith. And look down at verses 8-11, because it shows her faith. And I will start in 9. Look at the certainty of her faith. The certainty of her faith. She says there, I know the Lord has given you the land. Not I think, or I kind of have an inkling, maybe he might. I know it. How did she know it? How did she know it? She hadn't seen all those things she mentions in verse 10. She didn't see the sea split. She didn't see them defeat Og and Sion. She hadn't seen any of that. So how did she know? Listen, she knew by faith. Let me tell you something. I've never seen God. I've never seen Jesus. But I know he exists. I know it. I know it. I don't hope it. I don't think it. I know it. How do I know? By faith. I know by faith. You know what? I know there is a heaven and there is a hell. I know it. I've never visited heaven. I've never been caught up like Paul was. I've never had some kind of experience where I've gone to hell. Praise God. But I know they exist. How do you know, Pastor? By faith. By faith. I have never, you know, we sang about the cross. I wasn't there when Jesus died on the cross. I wasn't. When he died for my sins, I was not there. I didn't see it. I didn't see him come out of the grave. But you know, folks, you know what? We know it. How do we know? By faith. That's the certainty of faith. God's word says it. We know it. And that leads to the second point here. Her faith, the certainty of her faith, the source of her faith. Do you see the source there in verse 10? For we have heard. We've heard. And then there's verse 11. And when we heard it, she heard the reports about God and what God did, the miracles and the works. Remember, up to this time, they didn't have a book. They didn't have the Bible. It was all by hearing. It was oral transmission. And she heard it. She didn't see it. She heard it. And when she heard the word of God, she believed. She believed. You see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's where it comes from. You hear the word, and it works that faith in you. Now, I want to show you something else, and this is very important. The ingredients of her faith. The ingredients. I didn't know what to call this, but I'm going to call it the ingredients of the faith. You see, let me just say this. She wasn't the only one that heard. All the people of the city had heard what she had heard. They even believed it. They even had an emotional experience. You see what it says there? The terror fell upon us. All the inhabitants have melted before you. Our hearts melted and no courage remained. She didn't say my heart. She said our hearts. See, they all heard. They had the intellectual knowledge. They had an experience. Whoa, look, they were afraid. But they weren't saved. Get this. This is so important. They weren't saved. Only Rahab was saved. Because to the intellect, yet biblical faith goes beyond intellect, it goes beyond emotion, all the way down to the human will. Down to the will. Rahab, she just didn't know the facts. She just didn't fear. She believed what she heard. And as an act of her will, she put her trust in the God of Israel. Do you see that? That's so important, folks. It goes beyond just head knowledge. It goes beyond just having an experience. Verse 11, what did she believe? Verse 11 says, the Lord your God, he is a God of heaven above and earth beneath. And acknowledging that, she was renouncing the gods of her people. He is God. Jehovah is God. And she put her faith in Jehovah. Some people think that as long as you just have faith in some God. Oh, no, that's wrong. You can have faith in anything else. There's only one God that can save you. There's only one Savior, Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. It's not just faith. You have faith in thin ice, you're going to get wet. You have faith in, you go out in your car today and you're driving home, and you have faith when you step on that brake, your car's going to stop. But if your brake line is broken, you're going to be in an accident. It's not just faith, it's the object of our faith. It's the object of our faith. And she placed her faith in the Lord. Faith. And it was not faith in a deistic God. Because she says he's God of heaven above. He's God down here on earth. He's a God that is involved in human affairs. Folks, the New Testament, and you know the verse, Romans 10:13. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. She heard it orally. She believed. Again, no written word up until this time. What a privilege we have to have this book. We've got it down now. We don't have to just get it by ear. We can read it. We can hear it. Praise God. And listen, if you want to increase your faith, get into the book. Get into the Word of God. That's where faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. True biblical faith comes by hearing His Word. Tell you know what it is? And I'll just say this, it's dangerous to listen to the Word of God preached. It is dangerous because God works through His Word. And that's how we get faith. It's through the Word of God. Through the Word of God. Well, third lesson we learn in this account. Biblical faith, listen to this, always shows itself in works. Did you get that? And on your outline, if you ever underline, always. Always. If there are no works, there is no biblical faith. Can you say amen? Amen? If there's no works, there's no biblical faith. Because she believed, because she trusted in God, put her trust in God, she did certain things. Let me just name seven of them just right off. First of all, she received the spies. Second of all, she hid the spies. By the way, that was to turn her back on her own people. Thirdly, she confessed her faith to the spies. Fourthly, she secured a pledge of safety from the spies. Fifth, she helped the spies escape. She let them down by a rope through the window. Sixth, she tied a scarlet cord in her window. For the spies said, if you do this, when we come back to the city, everyone in the house will be spared. And number seven, she told her family what was going to happen. And she brought them in to the house of safety. Oh, see, that all came from faith. From faith. Put this verse down, James chapter 2, verses 17 through 26. And you help me with this. I don't know if I know this one or not. Faith without works is, it's dead. Being by itself. What's he mean by that? Faith without works is not biblical faith. It's not biblical faith. It's just not. And then he gives two examples of biblical faith. The first one he gives in James is Abraham. Abraham, when he offered up his son to God. Do you remember? Remember the story? He says, that showed, the fact that he was willing to give his son showed that he had true biblical faith. But the second example that James gives is Rahab the harlot. He says, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? Now you got to be careful here, right? Was she justified by works? No, she wasn't. She was justified by faith, but her works showed that she had what? Biblical faith. Biblical faith. We are not saved by faith plus works, but we are saved by faith that works. Or like Martin Luther said, we are saved by faith alone, but faith that saves is never alone. It's not alone. You see? Or the Puritan writer Thomas Manton said, works are not the ground of confidence, but the evidence. Not the foundation of faith, but the encouragement of assurance. Folks, true biblical faith. Listen, underline it, circle it. Always, always shows itself in good works. If there's no works, I mean, it's going to be different for different people. And our salvation's not dependent on the works, right? It's just the outgrowth of salvation. And if you have true biblical faith, there's change in your life. You're going to be doing something for the Lord. And if you're not, then go back and check whether you've had true biblical faith. Number four, biblical faith is the, listen to this, is the means of deliverance from death and destruction. Wow. Folks, all of these people in Jericho were under a death sentence. They were under a sentence of destruction. The whole city of Jericho and the inhabitants of the land, the Amorites, were under a sentence of destruction and death. I talked to someone yesterday, and they said, Pastor, well, they didn't say Pastor, it was one of my sons. Pastor Les? No. They said, Dad, I'm reading through Joshua. But Dad, I'm reading through, and he's telling them to go in and wipe out the whole place. Kill everybody. Just wipe them all out. What's your take on that? How do we explain that to like non-Christians? Listen, folks. God had given these folks over 400 years to repent. Think about this. He told Abraham way back in the day, he said, you know what? Your descendants, they're going to go down into another place. They'll be in slavery for 400 years. You know why? I've given you this land, but you're not going to inhabit it yet because the sin of the Amorite is not complete. And God, in his mercy, He could have wiped them all out. Folks, God is holy. He could wipe everybody out. He waited over four. In the days of Noah, he waited 120 years. And as Noah built the ark and he was a preacher of righteousness, why did God wait? Why did God wait for 430 years? I'll tell you why. He's not slow as some count slowness. He's not slack as some count slackness. But he is patient with us. And he's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. It was his mercy. It was his grace that he didn't wipe them out. But I'm going to tell you what. The wages of sin is death. And he waited. And he waited. And finally, the sin of the Amorite was complete. God does not delight in the death of the wicked. He wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. That's God's heart. But there is a time. 400 years. They were all under the sentence of destruction and death. But listen, biblical faith brought deliverance. It brought deliverance. See here, but Rahab believed, she trusted in Jehovah God. Therefore, she tied the scarlet cord in her window. She also, you know what else she did? She went out and she gathered all her loved ones together in the house. And when the day of destruction came, she and all that were with her in the house were saved from death and destruction. You know what? I thought about this. I don't think you could find a better example of Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 than in Rahab. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. First of all, by grace. Did she deserve to get saved? She's an Amorite. She was a pagan. And an immoral pagan at that. She was a prostitute. God is gracious. God is gracious. Jesus came to save sinners. Paul says, of whom I'm chief? By grace, through faith. She took it to heart. She believed it. She was emotional about it. But then she took that step of putting, through the act of the will, putting her trust in Jehovah God. And she was saved. And I'm going to tell you, faith brought deliverance. Brought deliverance. All mankind outside of Jesus Christ is under the sentence of death and destruction. All mankind. Faith is the channel through which you can be delivered. Faith is the channel. Faith is the channel. Over 150 times in the New Testament, it gives one requirement to get saved, and that's have faith. Believe. If we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be what? Saved. That's it. The Philippian jailer, what must I do to be saved? What? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved and your household. She was saved. She got in. Then you know what she did? She got her family in. Wow. She got saved. She believed. She went out, told her family, judgment's coming. You got to get in. It's coming. It's coming. You got to come in. Get in. Get in. And you know, they responded. They got in. They didn't respond. You know what? They didn't respond like Lot's sons-in-law. Remember what they did? When Lot said, judgment's coming. The fire's going to be rained down from heaven. You gotta flee. And you know what? They thought he was joking. They thought he was joking. Oh, yeah, right. Right. And you know what? They perished in Sodom. They got burned up in Sodom. They did. They didn't believe. They thought he was jesting. I'll tell you what, I'm not joking. Judgment's coming. Hell is real. It is. I say that with tears in my eyes. It is real. And judgment is coming. So what we all need to do is by faith, we need to get in. We need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we'll be saved. And then, you know what we need to do? We need to get our families in. That's what we need to do. I got this illustration from Brother Jeremy just the other day. He shared this. It's like flying on an airplane. You remember, before you fly, they give instructions and they say, if perchance this cabin would be depressurized, there's going to be a mask come down. You know, pull it down. First, you're to do what? Put it on yourself. You might have a tendency, I want to get it on my kids or I want to get it on somebody else. But first of all, you got to put it on yourself. Then you help others. First, listen, you get saved, we get saved, then get your family in. That's it. Because biblical faith will deliver from death and destruction. We learn that here. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Number five and last. Biblical faith, oh my, makes a profound difference. It makes a profound difference. It makes a profound difference in the person's life that has the biblical faith. How did it change Rahab's life? First of all, it lengthened her life, right? She did not die when Jericho was destroyed. The quantity of life was affected. It lengthened her life. I've had people tell me, you know what, Pastor? If I wouldn't have accepted Christ when I did, I'd be dead. That might be true. That might be true. You don't know what's going to happen. It lengthened her life. It changed not only the quantity of her life, it changed the quality of her life. And this is beautiful. She gave up her sin. She gave up being a prostitute. And she wasn't a prostitute anymore. She was a people of God or a person of God. It changed the quality of her life. You know, when you meet God, he changes you. Now, there's something a little sad here, though. Because sometimes when we live a life, that reputation follows us. You know, even in the New Testament, two out of the three times that Rahab is mentioned in the New Testament, she's called Rahab the harlot. You see, what we do now can follow us, at least in men's eyes, but in God's eyes, she was forgiven. Praise God. Praise God for that. Her life was changed. And not only that, she lived a life of faith, listen, that was noticed up in heaven. It was noticed in heaven because in Hebrews chapter 11, there's only two women that made heaven's hall of faith. Who were they? Sarah, Abraham's wife, and Rahab the harlot. She made heaven's hall of faith. It says in Hebrews 11:31, by faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. I'll tell you what. When she had faith, God made a profound difference in her life. I'll tell you, he can make a profound difference in our life. Amen? I'll tell you what, praise God, he does make a profound difference. But not only was there a profound difference in her life, there was a profound difference in the world. In the world. This woman was with a tarnished past, became a part of the people of God. She married a Jewish man by the name of Salmon. She became the mother of Boaz. Boaz married Ruth. Ruth gave birth to Obed. Obed was the father of Jesse, and Jesse was the father of King David. And this lady is a part of the genealogy of Messiah. Read Matthew 1. She's there. And you talk about a profound difference. You talk about impact on the world. This lady had it. And it was because she was a woman of faith. But Pastor, I can see that. She was in the genealogy of Jesus. We can't be in the genealogy of Jesus. She made an impact on the world. Can we make an impact on the world? We can. Let me give you a couple, let me just two verses. Romans 1, 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all those who believe, to the Jew first, then also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Just as it is written, the righteous man shall live by faith. Do you see that? How do people get saved? It's from faith to faith. When we have faith and we live by faith and we walk by faith and we witness by faith, people get faith. They get faith and they get saved. The righteous man shall live by faith. And let me ask you this. How can we change the world? One soul at a time. One soul at a time. As we share the faith and people get saved, guess what? The world's changed. It makes a profound difference in the world when one soul gets saved. That's how we change the world. You see, God is calling us to be people of faith. People of faith. We need to learn the lessons, right? Faith is not presumption. God expects us to do what we're supposed to do and then trust Him. Have faith. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Faith always shows itself in good works. Faith is the means of deliverance from death and destruction. And when we walk by faith, folks, it makes a profound difference. Profound difference. And we learn all these lessons from Rahab the prostitute, Rahab the harlot. Would you bow your heads? And Lord, someone here, someone watching, you have never had biblical faith in Christ. Maybe you have had knowledge, maybe you have had even emotional experience, but you've never, through an act of your will, put your trust totally in Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, his resurrection for you. Death for your sins. He rose from the dead. You've never done that. Or you're not sure. Would you just say right now to the Lord, Lord, by faith, I receive you. If you want to receive the Lord, would you raise your hand? Anybody here? Just say, I want the Lord. Anybody, if you're watching online, just raise your hand. I can't see you. Anybody here need Christ? Again, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. Anybody here today want to say, Lord, I need increase my faith. You want, Lord, help me to be more of a man or a woman of faith. Would you raise your hand? Just say, I want to be a man of faith, a woman of faith. Yes. How many of you here today, you can put your hands down. You're in, but you need to get your family in. Would you just say, Pastor, pray for me. Pray for my family. Pray for my family. Pray for my kids. Pray for my grandkids. Raise your hands. If you need that prayer, just Lord, you see us, God. Lord, we want to by faith. Lord, and I don't understand it all. You said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, you and your household. I know we can have an impact on those in our households, Lord. Lord, help us. Lord, we want you to guide us. Show us what we need to do, what we need to say, when we need to say it, when we need to be quiet. Help us, God. Help us. Help our children. Help our grandchildren. Help our spouses. Help our, Lord, our brothers and sisters. Lord, help us, God. By faith, we reach out to you. And Lord, increase our faith. I know we don't need a big, big, big amount of faith. We just need a little faith in a big God. But Lord, increase our faith. Help us to get in your word. And Lord, speak to us so that our faith might grow. And then Lord, again, work in us. So that those who may not even know you, Lord, maybe they don't even know they don't know you. Maybe they think they know you and they don't. Lord, touch us, God. And Lord, save us, we pray. And Lord, now we're going to go down to your table. And we're going to celebrate what you did for us. Lord, as we go to your table, we ask you to search our hearts. If there's anything that would hinder fellowship with you, please forgive us. Cleanse us, Lord, we pray. Lord, thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Lord, thank you for the cross. In Jesus' name.